didn't matter all that much.
Vic says, if history were... What does it say? Come on, man. Come on, now I lose it. Historical arguments are dumb. Under that logic, nobody can ever talk trash to a Yankee fan. Yeah, I mean, if the Yankees stink and somebody else wins a World Series, Yankees fans can't be like, well, good luck getting to 27 or whatever they have. I don't know how many championships the Yankees are going to lord over us when no one else cared in 1921 when there were six teams in there and they won it. I don't know. I really believe that Feinbaum just does this when the Alabama fans really have nothing to complain about with their own program. So he has to find a, like, create a straw man, create a boogeyman. And so he just rips Clemson fans. Like, Clemson fans are out there just trying to say they're better than Alabama.
I like this text. Does Clemson not have some ugly, giant ears, bald-headed guy that can get on ESPN and just be a complete homer for Clemson? Question mark.
I mean, if people wanted to pay for facial reconstructive surgery, I'd do it.
Would you become bald to do that for us?
I'm already becoming bald.
You
it
might as well just
quicker.
Yeah, you might as well just take the plunge.
Right. Let's go to Will Vandervoort, who knows the state of my baldness all too well, having worked with me for a decade. At Steela Will on Twitter, he writes for theClemsonInsider.com. What's up, Willie V?
Hey, Quark, how are you, buddy?
Man, we're doing great. This Paul Feinbaum stuff. I'm sure that you have thoughts on Feinbaum calling out Clemson fans for basically things that don't exist. You have had your disagreements with Feinbaum in the past as well. What is your sense of where Clemson fans are now in relation to how they feel about Alabama and Feinbaum's comments basically calling him out for having fewer trophies in the trophy case than Alabama has in their lost and found?
Well, the thing about Feinbaum that really kind of always baffles me the way he is, first of all, you know, he's a media guy, so it's not like, you know, he's supposed to be a fan of somebody. But I always find it interesting of what he always says about Alabama, because he's a Tennessee grad. And that just really always kind of baffles my mind that a Tennessee grad always loves Alabama the way he does. But I guess he's written so many books or whatever you want to say and covered them for so long. Maybe he's got some love for him now. I don't know, but. Yeah, I mean, I don't always agree with everything he says, and if I'm a Clemson fan, I wouldn't worry about what he says. He's no different than just me, and he's just a reporter, and what we say really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Now, speaking from a columnist
standpoint, I should say.
Right, exactly right. Now, in the grand scheme of things, Clemson is unbeaten, 6-0. I may be wrong about this. Did Dabo do his typical after the game? I didn't even notice it in the post-game comments. Did he ever mention that Clemson was 6-0 like he normally does? It wasn't too long ago that this was a big deal around here. Did he ever say that after last week?
No. I think he said that, you know, it's good to be in the position they're in. But as far as, you know, comparing it to one thing or another, I don't think, Dabo's kind of moved past that a little bit. He did kind of, as yesterday as you were in there, he did kind of reminisce about 2013. And how far they've come, excuse me, not 2000, October 13th, and how far they've come since he became the interim head coach back in 2008. That's really all he talked about as far as that goes. He didn't mention anything other than the fact they're 6-0 and, you know, their goals are still in front of them.
Willie V, you bring up Dabo Swinney being hired as the interim head coach 9 years ago. What do you remember from that day? Kind of walk me through when that happened, what you remembered, what were your initial thoughts and your reaction?
Well, I remember I got a phone call at 6 o'clock in the morning that told me about Coach Bowden. It was about right around that time. And so I immediately went, and at that time I was working at the Seneca Journal, and I immediately went and up to McFadden Building where the football offices were, and basically started stalking out what was going on. I was reporting outside the doors of the McFadden Building, and actually when Dabo was named interim coach and all that happened, and then Rob Spence came out of the door carrying his box. Literally, I mean, this is serious. This happened. He came out the door and was carrying his box and had his stuff in it and all, and I said, Coach, how's everything going? You know, and he's like, well, not too good for me. And he said, I just got to let go. And I was like, what? And so, it was kind of, I remember that like it was yesterday. And, and then I remember, that day, then all the other media started joining me right around lunchtime that day. And We were camped out there for hours and hours. I mean, and then they let us in to for the press conference, I think around 4 o'clock that afternoon. So it was a day. It was a long, long day. And, you know, obviously, you know, then that night, I remember James Davis crying about what happened with Coach Bowden and the tears. And I remember Cullen Harper hiding in the training cart as he's trying to get away from the media. So it was it was an interesting and fun time. Let's just say that. And I mean fun. I'm being sarcastic. It was a very interesting day to be covering that as a reporter.
He is Will Vandevort at Steeler Will on Twitter. He writes for the Clemson Insider. Are they going to have the best game coverage anywhere from Syracuse this weekend? Speaking of Syracuse this weekend, Dabo talking about how tough the Carrier Dome is and how difficult the environment is, and saying all kinds of nice stuff about Dino Babers. He half convinced me, Vandevort, and then all of a sudden I like snapped out of the trance and I realized, oh, wait, he is talking about Syracuse. I mean, that, it is, to what extent should people be concerned about this Syracuse team?
The only thing, when I look at this, that should concern Clemson fans is the tempo of their offense. They're averaging about 84 plays a game, Qualk. And the thing, if you go and watch the NC State game and you go watch the LSU game, they were behind in both those games. And the reason they came back and found themselves in position to win those games at the end was because they wore down those two defenses as the game went along. Now, Clemson is better, I think, depth-wise than those two defenses. But the way they run their tempo, they stick with the personnel on the field. They don't change personnel, so it basically forces you to keep your guys on the field. And where is Clemson thin at? They're thin at defensive end. And that's an advantage that they can take advantage of that with this tempo and wear down that Clemson defense, if you will. So I think if you're a Clemson fan, that's the only thing you're concerned about. If Clemson gets out to a big lead and all, I don't believe they would come back on Clemson like they did those other two. But if it's a tight game and, let's say, Clemson's not playing well on offense and they turn the football over or something like that, it could cause a concern later on because Syracuse is going to get their own later in the game just simply because they wear you down with the tempo of their offense. That's the only advantage they have. And Dino Babers said that when he took the job, that's why he uses this offense, because it neutralizes things when he plays a defense like Clemson's and like NC State's. He can neutralize that defensive line and that pass rush as the game goes along.
Willie V, so let me ask you this. Even with Kelly Bryant starting, which we are assuming from what we know now that he will, do you see Clemson trying to really utilize that run game on Friday in a way just to kind of stay on the field and prevent Syracuse from coming out there and running 90 plays?
Absolutely. I can see Clemson, you know, they're still going to do what they do at the same time. And Clemson's going to have opportunities, especially if Syracuse plays press coverage and brings the pressure and things that they like to do on defense. So, yes, in a way, they're going to want to run the ball, but if they're giving Deion Kane one-on-one coverage, what are you going to do? You're going to check off and throw the ball 80 yards down the field if they're going to do that. I mean, like Clemson did against Wake Forest, you know, you saw that. Wake came out in press coverage, and they're like, okay, Deion, just do your thing. And of course, you get the quick, Clemson gets a quick touchdown, and then all of a sudden, we saw zone the rest of the game. So, that's the thing I love about this offense is, you know, you do press coverage on them, that's fine. They're just going to go ahead and beat you deep. If you play zone on them, they're going to go ahead and run the football. So it really puts defenses in a bad situation. And if you're Syracuse, you kind of, what do you do? Because you do want to get the ball back to your offense. So Clemson has proven this year when they need to, they can grind the ball and keep your offense off the field. They did that at Louisville, we saw, with Lamar Jackson. And they did that, obviously, with Auburn. And they did it a lot for that first half against Virginia Tech. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. But it's really going to be based on what Syracuse decides to do from a defensive standpoint.
Visit with Will Vandevort, theclemsoninsider.com, at Steeler Will on Twitter. How concerned should we be long-term about Kelly Bryant's situation? How would you play that going up to Syracuse? Is it a situation, like, if you're the head coach, and again, we don't have all the information, but is this a situation where you try to get him out of the game as quickly as possible? I mean, what would you do if you were in that position?
No, I mean, I'm with Dabo on this. Your goal is to win the game. And if it's a minor ankle injury, like Dabo's saying, then you go in there and you start your quarterback and you do everything you can to win the game. If you get up 35-0 at halftime and or up 42-0 midway through the third quarter or up, you know, 5 touchdowns or so at that point, then yeah, absolutely. But that would be just what you do anytime. That's just what Dabo does anytime when Clemson gets leads like that. We saw it last week against Wake Forest. You know, he started pulling all the starters when they were up 28-0. And that's why Wake Forest got its 14 points. But it pays off down the road when the season begins, and they need some of those players to play. Those guys have had that experience. So Dabo's going to do what he always does. He's going to coach it the way he needs to. That's going to win the game. And if it's a tight game, then, you know, and Kelly Bryant's there, and you got to keep playing them. Obviously, if they get the big lead there in the second half, then you go ahead and pull them. But I don't think they're not going in saying, okay, we get this amount of lead, let's go ahead and pull them. No, I don't think Dabo's doing that at all.
With all that being said, we know Kelly Bryant is going to, you know, most likely start against Syracuse. Let's think back to Wake Forest. What did you see from Zarek Cooper and Hunter Johnson, and who impressed you, and just what are your overall thoughts with those two guys and their performances against the Deacs?
I was a little surprised to see that Zarek Cooper was so nervous. He just looked extremely nervous, like he's never been there before. And, you know, he came in and played against Auburn, which I thought was more intimidating than Wake Forest, but for some reason he just looked nervous. Hunter Johnson, he didn't. I mean, the thing I take away from that was, you know, he looked like, hey, he was in the game. He was ready to go when they called his number, and he went out there and just, I like the way Dabo was talking about it on the Sunday teleconference, that he was checking from runs to pass. And if you go look at a couple of those passes, I believe the two passes, one to Higgins and then one to Amari Rogers, were both run calls, I believe. And he checked it to the pass, and of course, they both went for pretty good gains. So I was impressed with him and the way he managed the game and the decisions he made. The pass there to Cannon Smith, I thought, was, you know, another good decision on his part, as he watched exactly what the linebackers were doing and made the right read there. So I was impressed with him. Zarek, a little surprised that he wasn't ready and he looked like he was nervous instead of a guy that should be ready to go in those situations.
All right, final question for you, Willie V. I need to ask you about arguably the most devastating news that you've received this week, and that is that Ben Roethlisberger says he might be done as the quarterback after one of the worst performances in the history of the Steelers franchise. Your thoughts on the franchise quarterback basically suggesting that he's finished?
Well, he came back out yesterday and said that, you know, he was on a radio station in Pittsburgh yesterday and said that, you know, that was just at the moment, and, you know, he wasn't feeling good about himself. But, you know, he's back. He said he realized on Monday he's still one of the best in the game, and he knows he's an elite quarterback, and he just had a bad day, and he'll shake it off. But I think there's still something to it. He obviously, remember, he was contemplating retirement and during the offseason, and, you know, so you got there's some doubt in there probably with him that has he lost it, you know. It sure did look like he's lost it the other day. My whole thing is this with Pittsburgh. I think they're good enough on defense if the offense doesn't keep them on the field and turn the ball over, that they can hold their own. With that said, the offense has got to just give the ball to 26. Just give the ball to Le'Veon Bell and that offensive line, which is one of the best in the league, and run the football and have Ben start managing the game better. I think that's what they need to do. They do that, they can get themselves back in position. But that's going to be a tall order this week because they got to play a Kansas City team, who I think right now is the best team in the NFL.
He gives the best Steelers updates of any of our guests by leaps and bounds. He is Will Vannevort, at Steeler Will on Twitter. Writes for the Clemson Insider. Great coverage coming up at Syracuse as well, at TCI. You don't really need to go anywhere else. They've got you all covered there. Thanks so much, Willie V. We appreciate the time, and safe travels up north this weekend.
All right, Quok. Appreciate it, man. You and Kelly, take it easy.
All right, you too. That is Will Vannevort joining us here on a Wednesday. Boy, poor Big Ben. They got blasted by the Jags, and the guy was throwing pick sixes. He had no touchdowns and 5 picks. Ugh. That's terrible.
He played terribly, and that's all good and well, and it's you know, he is maybe losing a step, and that's fine. But as a guy who has won Super Bowls, you cannot say to the media, hey, maybe I've lost it. You just can't say that. You're Big Ben. You're better than that. You're above that. I know he meant it kind of in a way. I saw him say he was frustrated. He was kind of being sarcastic. Hey, you know, maybe I've lost it. You still can't say that. I don't think. Not if you're Ben Roethlisberger.
No, and they still have games to play. Like, you can't
say
I'm done.
They have tons of games to play.
They have, like, you know, three quarters of the season left.
How does that make Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant feel when they hear that, oh, our quarterback thinks he might have lost it?
Exactly. You can't have that. So somebody got in his ear and was like, hey, you need to put up a front. You're finished. You're done. Like somebody coming over to him being like, you got nothing left.
You know who's...
But you got to tell people you got something left because we got 11 games to play.
Isn't Josh Dobbs the backup in Pittsburgh?
It's not Landry Jones for the 93rd consecutive year?
I'm not sure who's technically number two in the depth chart, but we know Josh Dobbs is there.
Well, you know, he picked up the playbook faster than anybody. Guy could build a rocket ship. He definitely could pick up the playbook. Mercy. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds. We'll talk about next week's games coming up when we return in just a moment.
October means great Clemson football, but it also means breast cancer awareness. Every year, 105.5 The Roar raises money for the All In Foundation with our Tigers for Tatas wristbands. Every place we go, we take these much-desired wristbands with us. Join us at Toyota Beasley on October 20th for a live all-day broadcast with every show. Mickey, Zach, Quawk, Kelly, Brad, Ben, and Walt will be on hand with plenty of Papa John's pizza and Tigers for Tatas wristbands. Join us all day at Toyota Beasley, October 20th.
Athletes and active people wear out their joints as they age. For medically appropriate patients, the Surgery Center at Pelham offers a low-cost option for joint replacement to avoid a hospital stay and offers the capability to go home the same day.
I'm Dr. Frank Armacita. If your joints are worn out after years of golf, tennis, cycling, or weekend warrior activities, I believe our staff at the Surgery Center at Pelham can make a difference in your life.
Visit the Surgery Center at Pelham, online at newkneereplacement.com. When you've been in business almost 100 years, you've been doing something right. Since 1917, the key to Harbin Lumber's success has rested on its hardworking employees, people just like you, providing top lumber, building supplies, and contract services. You can be confident in customer service and support you can trust for your project, whether construction or large remodeling jobs. Call 353-5053. Find us on Facebook or online at harbinlumber.com.
This is George Jeffries again with Metal Building Supply in Piedmont. Do you have nuts? Well, we do, and bolts, panels, trims, and all the accessories you would need to do that shed project or roof on your home. Give us a call and talk to Kevin Brown. We can offer the names of contractors in the area and help you with the materials you need to solve those problems on your commercial building or your home. That's Metal Building Supply, 1500 Elrod Road, just off exit 39 and I-85 in Piedmont. Or call 295-0506 and ask for Kevin.
It's always a good time to look and feel good. At Roosters Men's Grooming Center, you can count on a team that will make you feel your absolute best. The many services provided will keep you coming back for more. Come by for anything from a close shave and professional haircut to a 7-step facial shave. Fellas, treat yourself. You deserve it. Don't have enough time on your hands for the full service? Ask us about our express cut. Call 864-884-8920 to make your appointment.
Ralph Hayes Toyota has been a proud sponsor of the Clemson Tigers for many years. Being South Carolina's oldest family-owned and operated Toyota dealership, First and 10 at Ralph Hayes Toyota means having our best sales and service team ready to go. Right now, come test drive the all-new 2018 Toyota Camry with more performance, safety features, and style than ever before. You can even take it home for a lifestyle test drive because we want you to be sure that you're happy with your purchase. Every new and pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUV comes with the Ralph Hayes Family Promise because we put your needs first. We even offer a 3-day, 200-mile money-back guarantee to give you some peace of mind. You'll always find competitive prices, great value, and superior customer satisfaction at Ralph Hayes Toyota because when you buy from us, you're part of the family. Ralph Hayes and the Clemson Tigers, a winning combination. Shop 24/7 at RalphHayesToyota.com. Go Clemson!
We wrote the book on price. Toyota.
What interest rate would you rather pay on your credit card debt? 16% or less than 6? The answer is obvious, LightStream. Because with LightStream, you may be able to consolidate credit card debt and dramatically cut your interest rate to as low as 5.49% APR with AutoPay. Plus, radio listeners get an additional rate discount. Just go to LightStream.com/sports. With average interest rates on credit card debt at 16% APR, Lightstream could save you thousands in interest. And because Lightstream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest and strongest financial institutions, you can have complete peace of mind. The application takes just minutes, and there are no fees and no pressure. Just lower rates, one low fixed monthly payment, and huge savings. So if you have good to excellent credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount when you go to lightstream.com/sports. That's lightstream.com/sports. Lightstream.com/sports.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Available when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Advertised rates, terms, and promotions are subject to change without notice. Conditions and limitations apply. Visit Lightstream.com for important terms and conditions.
Hello there. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've got 22 houses, 3 golf courses, and 4 boats big enough to be houses. Government shut down if I forget to pay my taxes.
Hey, we're broke.
My 2 cents are worth millions. My checkbook is the most wished-for item on Amazon.
I want it!
When I tip at restaurants, the waitstaff retires.
Yeah!
But how did I do it all? That's my little secret.
Carrier service, here's your big fat check from mybookie.ag.
I'm kind of doing a thing here.
Stop pretending it's a secret. Anyone can win on mybookie.ag. With 50% cash bonuses, great odds, and fast payouts, mybookie.ag is a no-brainer.
Listen, kid, how much will it cost for you to be quiet?
How much you got?
Try your luck today at mybookie.ag and use promo code radio.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Gets the crowd involved, doesn't it?
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fry and cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right and a radio.
Before this Friday night extravaganza where you're forced to choose between your favorite high school team slash your kids playing or cheering or playing in the band and Clemson football, there are two things you need to know. One, the entire game will be broadcast right here on 105.5, the Roar, the flagship station for Clemson athletics. You can also stream the games on the WCCP app or on WCCPFM.com. So if you're sitting at a high school venue, you can hear Don Munson, Ronnie Williams, Reggie Merriweather, and occasionally me on the broadcast throughout the action. You can begin with the Tiger Tailgate Show at your, you can actually begin at the with the Tiger Pregame Show from 1 to 4 at Port's App Room. We'll be on 4 to 6, and then it'll be Don, Rodney, and Reggie from the Carrier Dome.
Remember, I think it's Tim Bray on the call, actually.
That's right. Rodney's not going to be there. I forgot about that. Tim is going to be up there.
The goat.
Nice. There it is. Hey, but you can get ready for this orange and purple and white extravaganza at Tiger Sports Shop, where there's everything for the Clemson fan by Clemson fans like Julie Ibrahim, who has devoted her life to making sure that her late husband, Coach Iam Ibrahim, who did a wonderful job bringing natties and ACC titles to the men's soccer program at Clemson, making sure his legacy lives on. Show up to that high school venue wearing that orange, that purple, the road whites. I always love the road white. You can do all that. You can outfit your vehicle for the high school game if you're sitting in the stands and want to roll up and show your support on game day for Clemson with some gear from Tiger Sports Shop. Car flags, magnets, stickers, dice for your car, whatever. I used to have dice for my car, by the way. Orange and purple dice. True story. I don't know. They were a gift. Tiger Sports Shop on Highway 123 and also downtown Clemson. The games on the You Pick'em contest are very, very difficult.
You're welcome.
Very difficult. Kelly, you have made it tough, and you also have potentially... You need to, like, you're the one that holds the cards in this.
Oh, I have all the power.
Like, you can make it easier for us because right now we are currently... Where are we? We're tied for first among shows with every show that's not after us, right?
Yes.
Aren't all the shows tied for first?
So actually,
Walt and Ramona?
Yeah, Mickey and Zach, Brad and Ben, Kwok and Kelly, we all have the same total of wins. One of us has 44 wins, one has 43, which is actually really interesting. Overall, Matt Connolly leads the contest. He's 46 and 14. He had some really good weeks to start. So he's in first, and then tied for second are Zach, Ben, and myself, and then you are in third with 43 wins. So you're right there. I'm right there.
Well, technically fifth. Technically, I'm in fifth, right?
Well, yeah. Well, you're tied for third. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Well, tied for fifth.
In terms of total number of wins.
People, right?
Yeah, in terms of total number of wins. And overall, I mean, WCCP leads the media squad by 8 games. We're 8 up with 7 weeks to go. That's a nice little lead. I feel pretty comfortable with that.
All right, we're going to do first impressions of these games. We'll talk more in depth about it tomorrow because essentially tomorrow's show is our Friday show because the festivities of a game day will come at you on Friday beginning at 1, so there will be no out of bounds on Friday. TCU Kansas State is first. Kelly, your initial thoughts on this game?
Well, my initial thoughts are, I did not think this game would be on the U Pick'em contest 6 weeks ago.
No.
Right?
Right.
And B, I was a little hesitant about putting it on there because I don't think really anyone's going to go with K-State because of how they've struggled lately with those 2 losses. It is, though, in Manhattan, and it just kind of feels like TCU has to come back down to earth, right? There's that feeling with TCU that, honestly, they're the last undefeated team in the Big 12, and they might be the Big 12's playoff hope. It lies in the hands of TCU, which is just crazy to think about.
You know, I said some unkind things about Bill Snyder's clock management, but the reality is they still almost won the game. They weren't better than Texas, but they somehow found a way to almost win it with a 2-quarterback system that was actually pretty effective. Like, I was a little bit surprised how effective it was. If I'm handicapping this game, TCU has found a recipe. The spread I'm looking at is about a touchdown. That seems about right to me.
Yeah.
They found a recipe for success that involves basically defense and keeping it trail, Kenny Hill.
And honestly, running the ball in the Big 12, which just seems counterintuitive.
Right. They've done a good job with ball control, et cetera, et cetera. But if you are looking for a bit of a letdown game, they won at Oklahoma State. They avoided the letdown week by having a bye week. Then they played West Virginia. They get a big touchdown win. They scored late to get that win last week. Now they have to go on the road to K-State, where Kansas State, already with a loss in league, needing to not go 1-2. That puts you behind the 8 ball in the Big 12. I think that's where the intrigue comes in this particular showdown, in this particular game. TCU at number 6 in the country. Again, it seems a little bit high, but if you look at the way they've won these games, they're averaging 104 yards allowed on the ground, which is pretty doggone good. And like Kelly said, they're averaging about 259 passing and about 220 rushing. Pretty balanced there. Kansas State, if there's one major concern I have about Kansas State, it's throwing the ball. They just have not been able to move the ball vertically at all this year, throwing it. Their leading receiver has caught 11 balls. 11. Their leading receiver in yardage for 269. And Jesse Ertz is only completing 55% of his passes. In fact,
he's their leading rusher.
Jesse Ertz is their leading rusher. He has the same number of incomplete passes thrown as Kenny Hill does, and Kenny Hill has thrown 45 more passes than Ertz. That's worth it, yo. So that's how I'd handicap that game. TCU's a better team, but you're going on the road. It's a noon kick, and it's a bit of a letdown week. So
the letdown kind of worries me for TCU. At this point, though, what do you think of that statement, that TCU is the Big 12's remaining hope? Or are you not being that dramatic about it? Like, does Oklahoma State still have a chance? Does OU still have a chance, in your opinion?
I think any one-loss team still has a chance in this league because I'm not sure TCU is going 12-0.
Wouldn't you think Oklahoma State, though, has a better chance because their loss actually looks a little respectable?
Oklahoma, the last 2 games, they have not impressed me with that 8-point win against Baylor where Baker was talking all that smack against a winless team that's still winless in October.
Iowa State is now Baker's daddy.
And then Iowa State goes and beats him with a walk-on quarterback. This seems like something that's going to continue to be a problem for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I would still put Oklahoma State over Oklahoma in a Big 12. The issue there is Oklahoma State loses a tiebreaker with TCU. And
right.
They never beat Oklahoma. So that's a second loss right there.
That's the reason why TCU is very much in the driver's seat. Because if you're Oklahoma State, you need TCU to lose, and then you need to beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, you taught me into this one. I think I'm buying TCU more than the other ones. I'm hoping that Oklahoma State rights the ship, but they never win Bedlam. I was kind of hoping Bedlam would be their
one loss. They literally never win Bedlam. And they might have to beat Oklahoma again in the Big 12 championship. You never know. It probably will be TCU,
They probably will play TCU. Who already beat them on the road? I mean, that's
the Big 12 is a mess.
That's tough.
As per usual. Our second Big 12 game of the U Pick 'em contest is the ranked Red Raiders, number 24 Texas Tech, at West Virginia.
I just can't. I mean, people were saying that this is the game that should have been the U Pick 'em point
really?
Spread.
People were saying
point
that?
Spread game. People were saying it. Some would say. I mean, I guess
the proverbial
maybe.
Day.
The FPI gives Texas Tech a 54.7% chance, basically 55-45 over West Virginia. I hate West Virginia on the road and love West Virginia at home in the Big 12. Generally, that's where I start. If West Virginia's playing at home and they're halfway decent, I'm going to pick them against just about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If West Virginia's playing on the road and the team they're playing is halfway decent, I'm going to just about pick against them every time.
I worry about West Virginia in close games. The two teams they've played with a pulse, they lost by the exact same score. They lost to Virginia Tech 31-24. They lost to TCU 31-24. And the other three teams they've played are terrible. And they also let Kansas score 34 points.
They gave up like 350 on the ground.
I wonder about that. If you're going to let Kansas score 34, I know Texas Tech attacks you a little differently, but how many are you going to let Texas Tech score, right?
Texas Tech is much better in terms of run defense than they've been in years past. They're averaging under 140, which isn't that great, but in the Big 12, I mean, and especially when you're playing Arizona State, Houston, Oklahoma State is three of the teams you played. I mean, those teams, Oklahoma State doesn't run it great, but they run it well enough.
They played Okie State well.
And they have won close games, to your point. They beat Arizona State by a touchdown. They won at Houston by three. 4-1 start. They lose to Okie State at home by a touchdown, but again, played them well. Texas Tech's not favored in this game, but I would almost side with Texas Tech if the game were in a neutral venue. Right now, I probably lean West Virginia ever so slightly because of the venue and because I think Will Grier is a difference maker for West Virginia. I was impressed with the way they played against TCU last week.
His numbers look really good. He just hasn't been able to pull out those close wins. They've had some turnover issues. And it's always difficult when you travel time zones like Texas Tech is. So
right.
That's a toss up for me. I'm not sure which way I'm going to go with that one at this point. But you got to get the picks in tomorrow, so we'll see. What about Florida State at Duke?
Man, throw out the record books.
Throw out the record books. When
these
Duke's 4-2,
teams.
FSU's 1-3, and Florida State's favored by 7.
My gosh. What
and
is
Wallace
happening?
Wallace Wade.
What is happening? Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. What is happening in the ACC when Florida State is a touchdown favorite as a 1-3 team against 4-2 Duke? This is for, essentially, Florida State, I think, probably feels like, well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't have a chance. It probably feels like it does. If Clemson loses, like at NC State, and then Florida State can find a way to beat Clemson, it feels like it's clinging to life in the Atlantic Division, a slight chance if they can run the table. But, I mean, this is basically an elimination game. The loser's out. They can't. There's nothing you can do after this point, not just proverbially, but mathematically eliminated from all consideration to win divisions. Florida State. If it feels like a game that Florida State is going to win because Florida State's not going to be 1-4. It's like the Wake Forest game where you look across and you're like, gosh, you know, that team could give them problems, but Florida State's not going to be 0-3 and Wake Forest's not going to be 5-0. I feel the same way. Are we really coming out of this game with Duke 5-2, 500 in the ACC, and Florida State 1-4? I feel like that's not a football thing that's going to happen.
It's 2017, Quack. It could happen.
I would not lay the points for any amount of money.
Florida State played an undefeated Wake Forest. Literally anything can happen.
The way Florida State played at the end of the game last week against Miami is encouraging to me from a Florida State standpoint because they got good, solid quarterback play when they needed it down the stretch. And their run game actually moved the ball a little bit. Now, they got terrible quarterback play for the first three quarters, which is a concern. So in equal parts, the quarterback play or the play of the offense and passing downs, because you got to always give blame to the offensive line of Florida State every snap. But I feel like their play for the first three quarters was terrible, and then the fourth quarter was pretty good. I mean, the young guy stepped up and made some plays, and the line protected him better. But I do not like going into a game with James Blackman as my quarterback against a veteran quarterback, Daniel Jones, anywhere. Not because it's on the road in a hostile place, but because you're not at home. You know what I mean? I don't know. This one, I think probably the X and O's and what's happening on the field, it may favor Duke, but the sort of like abstract things are all about Florida State. That'd be my read on this.
Quack, terrifyingly enough for Florida State, through four games, they are averaging offensively 18.5 points per game.
Is
that enough to beat Duke?
That's a doo-doo sandwich.
Is that enough to beat Duke? I don't know.
Can you score 21 and beat Duke? I feel like you can score 21.
Duke's averaging 31.5.
Miami gave up six. If Miami and Florida State are peers, which, again, they may or may not be, you could hold them under 20, right? I would think so. Anyway, we'll step aside and take a break. Final segment of the program. More games, more analysis of the games coming up. We return for our final segment, Out of Bounds, in just a moment.
The Tigers are on the road to Syracuse for a Friday night game this week. The Tigers roll into the Carrier Dome for a 7 p.m. kickoff, ready to prove the power of the Paw and the real solid orange. Coach Sweeney and company are ready to bring you another exciting game on the road, Clemson versus Syracuse.
Let's go!
This Friday on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Game day starts with the Tiger pregame show on the flagship station for Clemson football, 105.5 The Roar. The Tigers travel to Syracuse for a Friday night game, and of course, game day starts with the Tiger pregame show. Join me and Scott Reimer this Friday at 1 p.m. at Poor Tap Room for the Tiger pregame show. 70 taps of craft beer and wine, the largest self-serve tap room. It's like a beer festival every day. And Scott and I will be there to get you ready for the game with live music from Brooks Dixon after the show. The Tiger pregame show this Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. at Poor Tap Room, Seven Falls Park in downtown Greenville.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
If you are in need of eye care and would like a more personal experience, consider Westminster Vision. We are locally owned and staffed with three convenient locations to serve you in Clemson, Pendleton, and of course, Westminster. We offer a large selection of eyewear and all types of medical care, even on Saturdays. So for quick, reasonable service you can trust, call us for an appointment at 646-3535.
As Clemson gets ready for the second half of the season, join me at George Coleman Ford Thursday as Road Rage broadcasts live and we take a look at the Tigers game with Syracuse. We'll have plenty of Papa John's pizza and football analysis. Thursday from George Coleman Ford.
Bring your own tools, pull the parts you need, and save big. At LKQ Pick Your Part, you'll find millions of parts from hundreds of cars and trucks to choose from. Right now, download our PYP Garage app. Get instant notifications when your vehicle comes to an LKQ Pick Your Part near you. Sign up for our PYP Garage and start earning points towards discounts on future purchases at LKQ Pick Your Part. It's easy and free to sign up. Visit LKQPickYourPart.com for more information or visit us today and save big. What's in your garage?
It's moving day, and Tiger Moving Company is here to help. Skip the headache. Hire the professionals with the right tools for your move. Their clean-cut and reliable team pack and assemble furniture seamlessly, so all you have to do is make yourself at home. To top this all off, they even start and stop the clock at your house, charging you a flat hourly rate. No rounding up. Call today at 908-9028 or email tigermoving@gmail.com to make your next move with Tiger Moving Company.
What interest rate would you rather pay on your credit card debt? 16% or less than 6? The answer is obvious, LightStream. Because with LightStream, you may be able to consolidate credit card debt and dramatically cut your interest rate to as low as 5.49% APR with AutoPay. Plus, radio listeners get an additional rate discount. Just go to LightStream.com/sports. With average interest rates on credit card debt at 16% APR,
Lightstream could save you thousands in interest. And because Lightstream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest and strongest financial institutions, you can have complete peace of mind. The application takes just minutes, and there are no fees and no pressure. Just lower rates, one low fixed monthly payment, and huge savings. So if you have good to excellent credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount when you go to lightstream.com/sports. That's lightstream.com/sports. lightstream.com/sports.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Available when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Advertised rates, terms, and promotions are subject to change without notice. Conditions and limitations apply. Visit Lightstream.com for important terms and conditions.
If you're looking for the perfect Clemson gear, then look no further than the Tiger Sports Shop. You can be the ultimate Clemson fan from head to toe with the Tiger Sports Shop's vast selection of orange and purple apparel. Tiger Sports Shop provides everything Clemson for the Clemson fan. Are you looking for the Nike apparel that you see the Clemson players and coaches wearing on the sidelines? We are the exclusive provider of Nike sideline apparel. In Clemson, visit our stores at 1102 Tiger Boulevard or 364 College Avenue in Clemson. Go Tigers!
Sanvic Coromant, located in Westminster, wants to wish the Clemson Tigers all the best on their 2017 football season. Specializing in tooling for the metal cutting industry, Sanvic Coromant is shaping the future of global manufacturing through extensive R&D, recruiting, and training those who strive to be the best. Just like the Clemson Tigers, who recognize the importance of recruiting and training to attain football excellence. Keep on winning, Tigers, from Sanvic Coromant in Westminster.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
They never lose their cool.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Don't be so quick to walk away. That's me. I wanna
break. Are you going to make us do it, Kelly? You going to make us do it?
Don't do
we
it.
We went this whole show.
Don't do it.
And we didn't do it.
I didn't ask for this.
We didn't do it. We refrained.
I didn't ask for this, Quack.
And we didn't
I did
do
not
it.
Ask for this.
You did with your tone and demeanor.
That was a...
Got time, but I don't mind.
Commercial break discussion.
Yeah, it was. But we have to bring it on the air because you will miss soccer during the World
what
Cup.
What happened to the sanctity of the commercial break discussion?
Every other nation in the world is celebrating its fledgling soccer history. And our fledgling soccer history is on the couch. There's like four nations that ever have a chance to win the World Cup, and everybody else celebrates what little bits and pieces of historical significance and relevancy they have. And our nation... of winners and champions dating back to the 2016 presidential elections where we are going to win more, we lost in soccer to Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, we had to play two countries. What is this?
We had to play them both at the same time, and it made sense because the 12 residents of Trinidad and the 9 residents of Tobago couldn't possibly take us on one at a time. How many people really live in Trinidad and Tobago? I thought a Tobago was something you wear on your head or something you sled on. A Tobago. Trinidad and Tobago. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing for someone who only cares about soccer in the World Cup. I just assumed that you're going to see the United States in the World Cup. I have low standards. I just want to watch us play in the World Cup.
Clock.
I want to win it. I don't even want to win a match. I just want to watch us play. And now I can't.
I'm going to make a statement here.
Okay.
And some people will disagree.
Yep.
Some will say, oh, Kelly, you know, so uppity. You don't like soccer. Call me what you want. I could care less about soccer. I do not care at all. It's unfortunate that the Americans are not going to be in the World Cup. It's very unfortunate. And I feel bad for people who do like soccer and are fans of our great nation's team. And I'm really bummed you're not going to get to watch the Team USA fall in the group stage. I'm very bummed about that. That being said, I don't care. I do not care at all about soccer. Not even a little bit. We never win.
Show.
We're not any good. Soccer's not on the rise. It's not going to overtake, you know, whatever sport. It's just not. It's soccer. And we're not any good. The end.
I
that was
feel
a little harsh,
for,
but it's how I feel.
I feel bad now. And now I have to put a disclaimer out. Mike Noonan, Eddie Rwanski.
Okay, wait, chill, chill.
Not that we hate soccer.
Look, here's the thing.
We love soccer and support soccer in every respect.
The times when I care about soccer and I enjoy it are few, but they are when a school I love plays it and plays it very well and is very good at it. If you win, you can convince me to like something I don't really like.
So you don't really care if... you don't care on the front end, like, if it's good or bad. You just care on the back end, and you're going to watch if it's good or bad. Like, you don't care enough to actually make a change, but if it's good, you'll support
Much
it.
Much like with America.
Like if with America, Kansas football.
Hold on. If America's in the World Cup, I will support America. I want them to win. Same with Clemson. Whatever Clemson plays, I want them to win. There are some sports that I just personally enjoy more than others, and I don't really enjoy soccer. But I want Clemson to win in soccer. And when Clemson was in the College Cup, I watched it. I did. We were at Tennessee Tech, remember? Doing a women's game. And we watched the game.
Yes.
Probably shouldn't say this on air. Watched the game while we were trying to broadcast the soccer basketball game. Because we cared. Because I want Clemson to succeed in everything. That being said, am I shedding a tear over Team USA not making the World Cup? No. Sorry. I'm just trying to be transparent and truthful on the show. That's all. That's all. Okay?
Okay. We can move on to other things.
Are you telling me that your heart was broken last night when...
I'm saying I was angry.
USMNT was disqualified?
I have very little standards.
You were furious.
I just want us to be in the game.
How many name players on that team?
Pulisic. I don't know any players.
You can't name any of the players.
No, because you know why?
Clint Dempsey.
Because here's the thing. I don't understand soccer to the point that I can watch them play Trinidad and Tobago with a straight face. Because we should beat Trinidad and Tobago. I shouldn't have to worry about
that. We should beat Trinidad and Tobago in any single possible competition.
You know,
cornhole, speed walking. I don't care what it is. We should beat Trinidad and Tobago, both of them, together.
If we really, and by the way, I'm saying Tobago.
Is it Tobago?
So it sounds like toboggan, which I made puns about toboggan earlier, so that's why I'm saying it. It's definitely Trinidad and Tobago. But that point is irrelevant. The point is, if there's a soccer fan watching football out there, I don't expect you to watch with interest as Clemson takes on Kent State. I just don't care. Similarly, I'm not going to watch the United States and Trinidad and Tobago, okay? I'm not going to watch that match. I'm going to watch the United States play whoever it plays in its pool in the World Cup. And I'm going to expect that whatever had to happen for the United States to get there, because I don't really get the whole the CONCACAF process. I don't understand it. I got friends that do, and so I just defer to them when they tell me. All that being said, all I want is to get on the dance floor. Don't care how. Get on the dance floor. When the dance floor is in front of me and you are not there, I am embarrassed. That's the soccer fan that I am. We should be on the dance floor, and I'm not even going to avert my gaze from the dance floor.
Quack, what is the population of Trinidad and Tobago?
I'm going to go 26.
26 what?
26 people. Well, sorry to throw you off.
I thought you were
going to
say 26 million.
No, I don't know how many people
are
there.
Their population as a nation is 1.3 million people.
That's way
more
than I thought.
And they just beat us in soccer.
That's way more than I
thought. You want me to care? A country of 1.3 million people just beat the United States of America in a sport.
Someone is going to come back with, guys, everyone knows that these little countries care more about that. Well, you know what? Sometimes the Sixers care more than LeBron, but LeBron wins.
Right.
The Cavs.
I don't care how
Sixers.
Much Trinidad and Tobago care.
The plucky, what is it?
They have 1.3 million people.
The Rough Riders in the NBDL cared more than LeBron, and LeBron beat them. Is it too much to ask that our LeBron-esque nation with LeBron-esque athletes beats the crap out of the NBDL's soccer? Is that too much to ask?
Our LeBron-esque nation.
Is it too much to ask that our Clemson football-esque soccer program can beat Wofford? Is it too much to ask?
Don't compare the U.S. men's national team to Clemson football.
I'm just telling you.
That's disrespectful to the Tigers.
Is it too much to ask that our Texas caliber program in men's soccer can beat Morehead State or Alabama A&M
or Maryland
or St. Mary's in Montana? Not even the St. Mary's you care about. Trinidad and Tobago, who have never done anything worthwhile in the global stage until now, when they knocked off the United States. They've never done anything worth anything on the national stage until this moment, and it's at your expense. That, if you don't care beans about soccer, that in and of itself is embarrassing.
I agree. Quack, I think intern Sandy has some thoughts about soccer. Sandy, do you have something to say?
Go ahead. I just want to say, all I had to do was tie.
To stay eligible, right? They just had to draw.
And I think Panama, if the results had stayed, the Americans would have gone.
All right,
Panama
had a phantom goal. Did you see that?
Panama scores and then we're out. It's a very weird process. Like I said, I defer to other people. Like
that's my other thing with soccer, the fact that you can tie. Guys, just don't get. It's just not the time. We only have 3 more minutes. I don't have enough time today, and frankly, I'm angry. Yeah.
Like do we have enough time?
Do we? We don't.
If you don't care now, you're not going to care in 5 years. It's bad.
Oh yeah, I'm not. I'm not.
When we're not playing,
I'm not.
This hour is brought to you by Crude LED. When you essentially, like, the men's soccer program needs LED lighting in their meeting rooms because it's the epitome of depression and horribleness today.
The U.S., not Clemson. Clemson is very good.
The U.S. men's soccer team. I'm sorry, my brain is in shambles right now because of how angry I am that the United States is now not representing our region of the world, and Panama is, where legitimately the best thing about Panama is the canal. They are now representing our part of the world, and we are not.
Didn't we build that canal too?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Mercy. Get out of my face with that. And give me LED lighting with Crude LED. If you're a Duke Energy customer, you can do that. KRUTLED.com. 6-inch downlights, park and pull light fixtures, LED high bay fixtures, LED tube lights, all kinds of upfront rebates. All you got to do, go through a very simple process and prove to them that you, in fact, do have a Duke Energy account. KRUTLED.com, 109 Interstate Boulevard in Anderson. Call them 864. That's area code 864-401-8506. Vic says Iceland qualified for this World Cup with a population of 350,000. They legitimately have, what is that, 10%, 1% of the people that we have? I can't even do the math I want to do.
That's insane. The
population is 1% of us, and they're in.
That's absolutely insane.
We're out. That's like if Luxembourg was competing in the Ryder Cup instead of us or something. Luxembourg versus the world in the President's Cup. Get this out of here. If you don't care about anything, you should care about the fact that the United States lost to a bunch of countries like Trinidad and Tobago and Panama.
I get it. And I don't ever like to see the United States losing things. Don't get me wrong. I want to root for this nation. But I'm just telling you how I feel.
The biggest loser is Fox.
It is what it is.
The biggest loser is Fox.
For World Cup ratings next year?
They have the World Cup. They have to now convince a bunch of Americans to watch not America
play
soccer.
You know, some Fox executive last night was losing his mind.
I know this is the wrong number, but I'm pretty sure I saw that they paid $400 million. It's somewhere between $200 and $400 million. Is it $200 million? $200 million for the rights to broadcast
because
it in English.
Because that's the bottom line, too, is even though we're not any good, people still watch it, like the World Cup, thinking that Clemson, good grief, that America's going to win.
We're just so... You know what?
There's this hopefulness that there's no reason why.
If Clemson didn't qualify for the College Cup and like Liechtenstein Tech made it or something, I don't know. For some reason, I'm in small Europe land right now. Then we'd be mad.
I didn't want to talk about this. I just brought it up at a break and then look what happened.
Man, I'm furious.
So blame Quack for this.
I'm really upset about this.
Anyway, great end of the show.
Yeah, great end of the
show. More American football tomorrow.
Hey, more American football tomorrow. We'll have a great guest coming on. Good news, everybody. Walt Deptula is back. Road Rage is up next. God bless.